and our guests. What we are going to do now is in front of your papers, the agenda. But first of all, introduction. For now, I will introduce the new member of the committee, Honorable Monli Kumubele. Welcome, Honorable Sir. Some of you will know Monli as a former mayor of Kuruleni, one of the best mayors, or let me say, one of the best municipalities, best performed municipalities over years. And he was in the driving seat of that municipality. We'll introduce other people as they come. We know all of us. Maybe for the benefit of Honorable Kumubele. Next to you is Honorable Kekana. That's on your left. On your right is Honorable Lerumo Kalago, the whip. Next to Honorable Kalago is Honorable Tsedi, with an L at the end, not T. Behind Honorable Kalago is Honorable Machoba. On the right of Honorable Machoba is Honorable Fanskalde. On the right of Honorable Tsedi is Honorable Drachen. On the right of, far right of Honorable Drachen is Honorable Van Damme. And next to Honorable Van Damme is Honorable Van Dijk. Here we don't tell which parties we come from. We are all members of the committee. That's all the members. And then, department, can you introduce yourselves? Oh, my name is Humphrey Maqhekwane. I'm told that I didn't introduce myself. The chairperson of the committee. Department?
Morning, members. My name is Andy Lene from the Ministry of Communications.
Can you also please tell your positions? Because we are going to deal with serious business here. We want people who are in charge of the department. Can you tell the position? Hold.
I'm currently advising the minister.
Oh, okay.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, my name is Colin Dimangatsa Mashile. I am the Chief Director for Pop Policy and Research at the Department.
Good morning, honorable Chair, honorable members. I'm the Manager of Legal and Regulatory Affairs for the Films and Publications Board.
Good morning, I'm Sarah Manyana, Deputy Chair of FPP.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is the CEO of the FPP.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Sipho Receiver. I'm the CEO of FPP.
Okay. We have other people here. Can you start there?
Morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Vuyoka Zincobozi, a Parliamentary Legal Advisor.
Continue. That's PMG, eh? Yeah? sir, we are on introductions.
Mohammed Kreta, Chairperson, State Law Advisor's Office.
Okay. All right. Honorable Van Dijk.
Chair, I just want to know, while we're deliberating on such an important matter, why the Minister or the Deputy or the DG is not here?
Okay, first of all, we need to deal with one issue. Because the first part, if you look at the agenda, the first part is the committee, is the portfolio committee briefing us. Yes, the researcher and advisor is briefing us on draft hearings. I'm not ignoring your question, Honorable Van Dijk. Usually, members, when we deal with that, it's only the support staff and the committee members. But we are not hiding anything, so it depends on you, members, what we do. Because we're just getting the briefing from the research, the analysis on what we got, as well as the overall report. What are your suggestions? Honorable Kekana.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Morning, Honorable members, and the officials from the department and FPP. My suggestion is that let us just request the officials from the department and the FPP just to give us some few minutes and we get the briefing. That is my proposal.
Do you have a support on that? Honorable
I don't know. I think the briefing by officials and the staff and they must circulate the document to us. They must not brief us. We'll read it ourselves. People want to engage because they are summarizing what was actually deliberated in public hearings and what. That analysis, it can be circulated to us. And this meeting is meeting for the department and us as committee. Their analysis and the capturing of what was discussed there, it can be circulated to members.
Honorable Kekana.
Let me withdraw my proposal and support Honorable Galakou.
Are we all fine with that, members? Go straight to the issues. Honorable Fanda.
Sorry, just I didn't understand properly what Honorable Galakou was suggesting. Just for clarity, what are you suggesting?
The suggestion was that the document they were going to present must just be circulated to members, and then we just go straight to the engagement with the department. I think that's agreed. I think the table here messed up with time. I think for this purpose, we should, from the office of the chair, we should have made times different. We should have allowed time for this briefing because to say people must get out, I always don't like it myself. But we should have arranged it such that we have 30 minutes for ourselves even when we're circulating the times. And then we call the department and the board at 10. We should have done that. I think it's our oversight on our side. Meaning, therefore, we'll just go straight to the deliberations because the meeting is for that. I think that's the agreement, members. The document is circulated. Then members will just look at that document. And then we now need to proceed to the issue we are going to deal with. But the issue we are going to deal with, members, it's one of the steps towards finalizing our deliberations on the matter of FPP. You recall that we had people who came all over within the sector to make their presentations during the public hearing. And members engaged with those presentations. And it is now the time of the committee to engage with the responses of the department in relation to what we heard from public hearings. They will make their presentation as to what they made out of the public hearings. And then from here, we'll meet again when we finalize the deliberations next term. Next term is in October. It's not that far. We'll meet again. Can't remember the date. It's 25 of October. When we finalize the deliberations. But this process now is between us, the department, supported by FPP, and whoever wants to do anything in relation to FPP will go via Parliament. I hope FPP, you hear that you won't allow Honorable Tate to make a presentation for your clarification on issues. That will go via the secretary of the committee, because it's now a committee matter. So that's where we are, members. We'll engage as much as we can. We'll then break what time? Is the whole thing that we have. I think that's what the program says. It's the whole day, so we'll have to engage. No rush, but we must deal with everything so that we finish. Is that in order? Are we happy with that process, members? Honorable Tsedi.
Honorable Chair, I think it's in order. But just to understand one aspect, at which stage is FPP going to clear a whole range of issues as raised by the stakeholders the other day when we met? And the reason why I'm raising this thing is that some of the issues, if they are left like that, they create a very wrong impression to the public. Because submissions were made public. A whole range of other issues about the intention of the bill and the like. And the reason why we avoided a situation where PB was to make a presentation or clarify certain things on that particular day was for them to wait for this particular day so that they're then able, without necessarily going at length in terms of the issues, just to say in terms of the critical issues which were raised by the stakeholders, this is the intention, and this is where we're going. But I'm just glad to understand the direction that we're taking, especially in relation to the issues as raised by the stakeholders, on the side of the PB in particular.
If I hear you correctly, the department and FPB were part of the public hearings. FPB is an entity of the department, and whatever issues they want to respond to, they will do it via the departments. They can speak, instructed by, delegated by the department. So they will respond on issues when the department delegates those issues to them in this meeting. So we're not engaging them, we're engaging the department. And the department must feel free to delegate some of the issues.
I think we're together.
Are you covered?
Yeah. Okay.
Then this is the direction that we're going to take. We'll now hand over to the department to respond, and then we'll engage and engage and engage. FPP, get ready so that when you are delegated, you just clarify issues. Thank you very much. Over to you, DOC.
Once more, Chair, Honorable Chair and members, thanks a lot for the opportunity to respond to all the submissions that were made on the bill. Chair, our presentation is outlined as follows. We will deal with the introduction and show some stats in terms of the online environment and other issues, and go into the synopsis of the submissions as we had heard them, and go into the detail of responding to all the sections as they were raised by the bill and all the inputs that were made by the stakeholders, and then it will be the conclusion. From the department side, Chair, we appreciate and welcome all the 32 comments that were received from various stakeholders. As it was noted, there were several submissions that were made. Some were joint submissions, like SACF and NAB, made of broadcasters and ISPA, and some were from concerned organizations and groups and non-governmental organizations. From our side, Chair, there are some comments that we accede to, and there are some that we do not agree with. But the message that came through for us, Chair, was that there was general consensus that due to digital convergence, this was a timely and a much needed technical legislative amendment in relation to the bill.
Just hold it there. Two things that I must do. There was a question. There was a question that the minister and the acting DG are not here. And then I never entertained that because I was clarifying some issues. The second one, members were meeting up to 1 o'clock today because the department will respond. And then tomorrow again we're meeting from 9:30 to 1:30. So it's not the whole day. It was my mistake. Can you respond to the explain as to why the minister and the acting DG?
Thank you, Chairperson. The minister is attending the cabinet meeting, the economics cluster cabinet, which sits on Tuesday and Wednesdays. The DG is also engaging National Treasury. But I think we can give comfort that this team is duly delegated, both by the minister as well as the DG. Thank you.
I will deal with the apologies later, because I should have done that. At another level where I was serving, it's not done here in National Parliament. When the HOD is not present, there was a letter of delegation. Without that letter, we're not entertaining anything from the department. That was at lower levels than the NA. But ever since I came to Parliament, people just say, that say it verbally. So maybe we need to look at that, at another level, because I think it's important that when the HOD or the DG is not here, there must be a letter of delegation. Anyone can come and say, I'm delegated. Then there must be a letter. But I think the practice in national parliament is not the same with where I come from at provincial level. But I'll deal with apologies later. We've heard where the minister is and the acting DG is. But can we get into business now? Mr. Mashile.
Thank you, Chair. We thought we should share with the members this two important quotations related to what we are dealing with, especially the underlined sections that we added. Here it's Andres Ansip, the Vice President for the Digital Single Market in the EU. He says, I want online platforms sectors to be powerhouses in the digital economy, not weigh them down with unnecessary rules. They need the certainty of a modern and a fair legal environment. This is what we want to do with the FPPP. That is what we are providing today. This means not changing existing rules that work, such as those related to liability of online service providers. It also means extending certain obligations to platforms and other digital players to improve user protection. This is what we want to do with the FPPP, to enhance or improve user protection online. And another one is from Commissioner of the Digital Economy and Society, Kanta Utenga, who reflects on what has been happening recently, to say the way we watch TV or videos may have changed, but our values don't. With these new rules, we will make sure incitement to hatred will have no room on video sharing platforms. We also want to ensure leveling playing field, responsible behavior, trust, and fairness in the online platform environment. These are policy principles that are carried largely by most policymakers when they deal with the matters that is in front of the committee. So we asked ourselves the following questions, Chair, to say, what is the problem under consideration with the bill? Why is government intervention necessary? And what are the legislative amendment objectives and intended effects? Chair, the bill continues to protect certain fundamental rights under our constitution and various other legislation, in particular the freedom to conduct a business, and the amendments are justified and they do not go beyond what is necessary to fulfill a legitimate objective to ensure the online protection of children and the vulnerable from exposure to inappropriate content, and also promote consumer confidence, ensuring that the consumers are able to make informed decisions about suitability of online content that may be watched by children. Our main focus is to ensure that we protect children online. So with this, Chair, and the intention of the bill was to ensure that the responsibility for this law is technically moved from the previous Minister of Home Affairs to the current Minister of Communication, give effect to the relevant constitutional judgments which struck down some of the ex provision as being unconstitutional, and for the sake of the industry and everyone in the country, create policy and regulatory consistency, certainty and clarity. We also wanted to evaluate whether the Act and other pieces of legislation are still aligned with the constitutional values of the Republic, Chair, and ensure that all online users have a safe experience when they go through the online environment and are provided with digital media literacy skills and empowered to know what to do when faced with challenges online. We also, Chair, wanted to support the regulator in this system, the FPP, industry and stakeholders, efforts for self and co-regulation to ensure that this remains flexible and up-to-date. This is what most of the policymakers across the globe are doing, Chair, to ensure that there's that space for the regulator and policy to ensure that the policy remains relevant and working together with the industry to ensure that all that needs to be effected is effected efficiently. And Chair, around the world, laws are being adopted to try to deal with these issues. There are also general laws and specific rules to deal with online children pornography, which is what we are also trying to deal with. The point here, Chair, is that what we are doing, it's not out of line. It's what, since the emergence of online environment, most policymakers are trying to address. We are also trying to be, we are trying to ensure that we are also in line with such developments, Chair. And across the globe, many ISPs, Chair, mobile operators, social networks and search engines have committed through their codes of conduct or on their own initiative to address the problem of harmful content. Hence, that quotation that you see, Chair, is that once the policymakers have made such policies, you find that there is support from the ISPs and mobile operators and social networks, because we all know or we all support the fact that there's online content that is harmful to children that is emerging, and it needs to be dealt with from a collaborative effort, Chair. And other issues that are dealt with are self-regulatory frameworks on notice and take down or notice and take action that have been developed to frame the role of internet intermediaries and to ensure that content can easily be removed from website, when it is obviously legal. In some areas, regulators can be involved in this process, Chair. In some countries, you find that there are hotlines that exist for victims to report illegal content on the internet and to fight sexual abuse material. Some regulatory authorities around the world are providing information on what to do when facing such problems, and also they involve children. Therefore, Chair, there's a need for government, regulatory authorities, and market operators to provide information on the available tools and on how to use them. These are all international developments that are happening around the matters that are assist with the committee today. In terms of international trends, Chair, what has been happening over the last number of years that has been influencing policy and policy reviews is that there has been a gradual shift in the distribution of content from your traditional platforms to online content distribution platforms. Also in South Africa, Chair, there has been some significant changes in the way we access content. In particular, there's increasing availability of video-on-demand services, for example, like Showmax on the multi-choice platform and Netflix that has entered South Africa and various other countries. And this, Chair, has broadened the context within which South African classification and advisor and consumer advice could be displayed and used. Recently, MPP has been classifying an increasing amount of online content, movies, television shows, and video games in a rapidly changing media environment. And that's why this amendment is very important, because they assist with a new development from where they used to deal with hard copies. There are now matters that they need to deal with that are emanating from the online environment. And this shows that online viewing, the online environment, has become very popular, and it requires a new policy outlook and a new regulatory outlook. So the other issue, Chair, is that the FPP required legal and regulatory clarity in terms of the kind of the regulatory regime that it has to deal or it has to apply when dealing with physical content distribution, which applies online. So what we are saying is that the purpose of the classification system should continue to be the protection from content that is considered to be injurious to the public good, and to provide guidance to families about why they choose to view or play. Because if you do not do that, Chair, you will find that children and other vulnerable groups will be in contact with content that might upset them. And the only place where they could complain about such is the FPP. And we are trying to create that platform so that the people know that when they come into contact with such content, the FPP is the right place to go to. We came across this interesting statistics, Chair, that shows the digital South Africa at a glance. What you can see here, Chair, is that there is an increase in terms of social media accounts that are about 21 million. The 53.3% of our population, Chair, uses mobile internet, and 34% spend over 3 hours online. And 36% of youth, Chair, are online and using their online environment. So we thought that these statistics are providing context of an environment where previously there was not so much use of this social media and mobile internet or mobile in the online environment. So in the next slide, we are going to deal with our synopsis of the submissions that they had presented to the committee. Firstly, Chair, we agree with stakeholder submission that certain legal definitions as set out in the bill require further work to provide, to help provide legal certainty for all parties and to prevent potential abuses or circumvention of the intended regulation. Secondly, we also broadly agree and support the proposal that the FPP should only deal with online or internet content networks and services matters, and ICASA will only...
Just hold it there. Honorable Funder.
Sorry to disturb the presentation. I'm not satisfied with the department just saying we agree with certain legal definitions. We need to know which ones specifically. I've looked through the presentation and later on you don't go into detail about what exactly, precisely you agree with, what you do not agree with. So this is not good enough. We need to know exactly which sections, which definitions. We need full information, please.
Yes, can we... Department, can you take that as a question? Because we still, they're just presenting now on our fundam. But after their presentation, we'll come up with issues. So we take that as one of the questions.
Noted, Chair, and thanks very much. Thirdly, acknowledging that we always need to assess the practical and or technical and related financial costs and social benefits arising from implementing and enforcing the regulatory provisions emanating from this legislation, we are of the view that the cost implications in enforcing this law by the FPP in line with international trends is expected to be most modest given the small number of online content networks and service providers who will not be worse off from implementing this law and whose costs are also going to be modest in relation to the benefit that will emerge from passing this legislation. We examined a high-level research in relation to impact assessment and in terms of various options related to either various scenarios related to no policy intervention or various other intervention that were required. So what we did here, Chair, was that we looked at various options to say whether we intervene or not intervene, and we decided that intervening would be the most important way of addressing matters that are facing the FPP. So therefore, the obligation, Chair, from our legislation that we intend to impose on online distributors is to continue registering with the FPP and also continue assisting in addressing harmful and illegal content online. This might have some financial or technical implications, and we're saying that we do not expect this to be significant. It will be within their compliance budget that they usually have, and could be absorbed in routine costs for online distributors. And in relation to the social benefit that will emerge from this law in terms of protection, protecting the vulnerable groups in society, we believe that in relation to that, the cost will not be that significant. They are manageable. Also, in terms of the financial implications related to the bill, as we said previously, the FPP will have some financial implications because they are the enforcers of this law, but I think this has been budgeted for and this has been catered for in their plans. We believe, Chair, that this amendment has to go through as it is going to improve on the current regulatory regime, and most importantly, to ensure that our consumers have certainty in terms of where to go and what is it that they can complain about. And the benefits to South Africans and to our status as a country will be very high. In which way, Chair, it is a cabinet decision that moving forward, all legislation that will come to the cabinet and to parliament have to carry out regulatory impact assessment. Here we are responding to one of the issues that was raised to say, what is it that we have done, Chair? As stated previously, the last number of years, Chair, have seen new issues emerging related to content where you used to have your traditional or linear access to movies, television shows. With the increasing number of platforms, this has moved into the online environment, which not only South Africa, but most countries across the globe had not anticipated. So from a classification perspective, these changes have complicated what was a very simple to understand and enforce offline classification. So when you move into the online environment, this has become a little bit complicated. So you now have online video sharing distributors and others that we have to work with to ensure that our legislation and intended regulatory frameworks are able to achieve what they're intended to achieve. So like elsewhere, Chair, this might include detailed measures to include tools for users to report and flag harmful content where they are able to notice it. So there were issues that were also raised, Chair, around whether the department, FPB, whether we're speaking to each other or to processes that are happening across the country. What we can report to the committee is that the issues that were raised up around online classification and ensuring that there is a one classification system. The chapter that was dealing with this was related to content. That has been moved to the Department of Communications. It is no longer part of the larger ICT policy review. So this matters of single online classification matter, Chair, is one of the issues that we are dealing with. And when we publish our discussion paper around audiovisual content, those are some of the issues that we will be dealing with. We have also consulted with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development on the Films and Publication Amendment Bill. We held two meetings with them, Chair, and we were always reporting back to the South African Law Reform Commission, which was appointed by the President to investigate pornography and children. And this project is Project 107 on sexual offenses. In relation to the TTPS, FPB, and National Prosecuting Authority, including ISRA, there are also ad hoc members of the committee that is dealing with this matter, as I've learned above, Chair. And we are also aware, and have been participating in this law review commission that is currently revising matters related to child pornography. Here we are trying to indicate, Chair, that we did not just do things in isolation. We are aware of the policy processes that are happening around the country. We participate to ensure that there is synergy in terms of what we do so that we do not cross purpose as government. And because of also clusters that are operating within FOSAD, Forum of South African Directors General, when people have such legislation, we usually commend as part of those DG's committees. So we are not operating in isolation. We are aware of what is happening around us, and it is our intention to ensure that our law is not irrelevant or contradicts other legislation. And Chair, we thought that it would be very important to reflect to the members and the public in terms of the recommendations that have emerged from our meetings, Chair. What emerged from those meetings was that the regulation and criminalization of child pornography should not be dealt with in terms of the FPA. And it was submitted that the criminalization of child pornography should be dealt with within the Sexual Offences and Related Matters Act. And that the current tendency to deal with child pornography in a law which does not specifically relate to the criminalization of sexual offences hampers the further development of this important aspect and give rise to fragmentary approach. And it is our intention as the department not to frustrate the efforts of the law enforcement agencies, where, Chair, they believe that we need to place certain matters in various legislation so that we all achieve our objectives. Chair, we agree with them. The Regional Court Magistrate, NPA and SAPS, Chair, have requested the DOJ to deal with child pornography coherently in a single law, as stated the Sexual Offences and Related Matters Act, Chair, and which is what they are going to do. Also, Chair, although the Law Reform Commission is busy with an investigation in terms of this matter that we are dealing with, it may take several years before legislation is promoted to specifically deal with this aspect. The investigation by the Law Reform Commission is, however, important to determine whether the offence currently on the statute book is adequate to deal with all aspects related to child pornography and how the position of children should be regulated. The cyberspace is an extension of the real world, and distribution of material of pornographic nature between children and whatever should be dealt with differently. This is what was agreed when there were discussions, because I think they were recognizing the online environment that is one of those innovative spaces where matters changes very quickly. And it was also stated that South Africa is probably the only country in the world that deals with child pornography in the law that primarily deals with classification of media. In almost all other countries, this category of offenses forms part of the substantive criminal law. In order to rectify the fragmentation of criminal law and to ensure that these aspects can, in the context of other sexual offences, be further developed, it was proposed that Section 24B of the FPA, FPB Bill, be incorporated into the Sexual Offences and Other Related Matters Amendment Act. Also, the Cyber Crimes and Cyber Security Bill could be used as a medium to effect such amendments. Therefore, the proposed amendment may also be utilized to address child pornography that is cyber-related, which is probably not fully addressed in the current section 24B of the FPA. These are some of the issues that came up, Chair, from all the discussions that we're having. We are trying to be very open and reflect that it's not like the department wanted to do matters unilaterally. We have been having engagements with the entity, with the state institutions and entities that the submitters had said that we had not engaged with. Chair, we also wanted to share with the committee the study that the FPP commissioned through UNISA to collect empirical evidence on the experience of South African children and how they relate to media material so that it informs the formulation of FPP guidelines and ensure alignment of FPP classification categories to the developmental stages of children and understand the role parents play in viewing and gaming choices of children. The study that was commissioned, Chair, found that sexual content, horror and violence have the most observable impact on children between the ages of 7 and 17. More subtle themes such as blasphemy and prejudice are less notable in movies. Children surveyed were found to be desensitized to violence and bad language in movies. This is supported by high prevalence of violent and consumer advisories identified by the FPP classifiers. Furthermore, parents were made to provide the necessary parental guidance when making gaming and viewing choices play a limited role in monitoring the children's media consumption patterns. Children surveyed revealed their reluctance to discuss any uncomfortable feeling they may have with their parents as a result to exposure to unsuitable content. Most children between 7 and 17 years of age play age-inappropriate games containing elements of extreme violence. The impact of gaming on thought and behavior is perceived to be less due to the fact that games are animated and seen as not real. So what happens across the globe is that when policymakers deal with the issues that are contained in the bill, one of the issues that are very important is the role of parents in terms of ensuring that the children that they give care to are able to engage with the online environment. So this research is very important as it proves, Chair, that what we are trying to do, it's not something that we sat in the dark corner and thought about. It is something that South Africa needed to respond to, as we are also signatories to the United Nations agreements that relate to protection of children. Chair, I don't know if I would be out of order, but this one, Chair, is the one that responds to Honorable Van Damme's request to say she required a detailed input or detailed close by close sort of response to what was raised. So if Chair, I could be allowed to go to the document, which is not in the slide format, to go through our detailed response to each of the issues that were raised, Chair. These were general views that we took and in summarizing what was in front of the committee on the 3 days that we had the other week.
Yeah, indeed, the document that you just presented, it's quite general, although there are specific clauses that you raise. We just received a detailed clause by clause judgment, and maybe it will go to clauses much better than the general one. It depends to you members if you have captured the few clauses that were dealt with in the general judgment. Members, Honorable Van Damme.
Why wasn't this document given to us? We just got it now. I would have liked to sit down and go through this in detail
why wasn't it why didn't we get it before?
I just received it now myself. Members just received the document now. We'll have to get from the department as to why they give us such a helpful document now, yet we got a general document yesterday, which has some, it's general, but it points to some of the clauses. CFO? No. The department must respond. We'll always refer to you, CFO, as the leader of the delegation. As the leader of the CFO or chief director, we'll always refer everything to you. You know, when the department meets the committee, it's led by minister. Not led by officials. Hence the question earlier that why is the minister not here? Because we can't have a department without an explanation that is led by the chief director. We can't have that. When a meeting is scheduled to meet the department, is the minister, is the Director General, and then we get as to why both of them are not here. So now we're talking to you as the leader of delegation. You may respond because we get the judgment now.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. What happened is that we needed to ensure that legally what we are saying is sounded, it's supposed to respond fairly and positively to what the people have said. So we managed to finalize the document for submission yesterday. So we had sent it yesterday.
Which one?
The
clause by clause?
Yes, this one. The template document.
Finalized it yesterday.
What had happened is that we discussed it with our in terms of the responses that we needed to give, and we also had to engage with the state law advisor to see if what we are saying is within the constitution and everything, as they are our as government legal advisor. So once we finalized them, Chair, we processed them and we could only submit them. We finalized by Friday late, so we could only forward them yesterday.
So you're saying the document was sent to Parliament yesterday?
Yes, Chair.
Parliament? Or just before Parliament?
No, Chair. I think we should put on record to the department. Firstly, it's not acceptable that you didn't get a written apology from the minister and the acting DG that they will not be here. Because I think that could have been forwarded. And secondly, I don't accept what the department is saying. They sent this other document earlier. I hear what is the reasons, but that is not acceptable at all, because this meeting was scheduled earlier, they were informed earlier. So it's not acceptable that they will say the detailed response clause by clause from what was raised in the public hearings. They could only send it yesterday. It's not acceptable at all. I don't think that must happen again.
Yes, beyond that. There is a document in front of us. What do you do with it? I'll come to you, Honorable Fandam. Honorable Sede.
Yeah, Chair, I concur with Honorable Kalako that this is highly unacceptable, really. And we don't expect this thing to happen again. Especially because to me, this document is key to this meeting. Even more key to the presentation that was done earlier. But my proposal, Chair, is that let's allow the department to proceed with the presentation of this document. Because to me, if it's not presented, there's no reason why we should proceed with this meeting. Because our deliberations are supposed to center around this document. That's why I said earlier, even the presentation that was done earlier, is not even more key to this document if we were to do comparisons. All I'm saying is that this is unacceptable. We don't expect it to happen again, but let's allow them to proceed with this presentation so that we are then able to become more empowered as we deliberate. Thanks. But I think it's an issue that from your office, Honorable Chair, you might have to take it up with the minister, just to echo the sentiments that the committee is raising in terms of this challenge that we're coming across. That's my suggestion, that perhaps at your level, you'll have to take the matter up with the minister, just to ensure that this thing does not happen again. It's unacceptable. Even if it was sent to Parliament yesterday, it's still not acceptable because there was no way members can still get the necessary opportunity to engage with the decision yesterday. Thanks.
Honorable Fandam?
Thanks, Chair. I agree that it is completely unacceptable. I think because it is such a controversial bill, I personally cannot allow the department to present on this. I want to sit down, read this, read the legislation, formulate my questions, and then engage with the department. It's not good enough for me to be given only a few minutes to read this and then engage with the department. Can I suggest that we carry on and discuss the document that was sent to us, which is the general vague one, and then this one may be given time to go and properly analyze it so that we can ask proper questions to the department. I do not think we can proceed with this document if we as members of parliament have not been given sufficient time to engage with this document and read the relevant legislation. I saw in the presentation that cabinet has said that this has to be implemented by September 2016. We here are not bound by what cabinet says. We're not members of cabinet. We're members of parliament, and we need to make sure that legislation is passed. We have properly engaged with it. I have not, as a member of parliament, I can't say that I've engaged with this document, and we cannot allow the department to present on it.
I think we agree, members, that we...
Thank you, Chairperson. I echo the same sentiments as the previous speakers, but I want to make a different suggestion. That whilst we receive the previous presentation in time, we give time for the committee to deliberate on it and give time for the presenters to present the latest document, but deliberate on it tomorrow. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes. Members will agree that it's unacceptable. It must be communicated with the minister. Whether it was communicated yesterday, and yesterday 4 o'clock Nafa, it's even bad for something that we dealt with last week. I think we are public representatives. representatives who have constituencies. And we are in constituencies at 4 o'clock on Monday. We're not going to look at this document, even if it was sent. It was not sent to us. We received it today. But I think, we have today and we have tomorrow. Tomorrow is responses to what we have raised. And the suggestion that is trying to take both proposals on board is that let's engage the general document, which has some clauses. Because as we look at the clauses in this document, they talk to the clauses that are here. Let's engage on that until 1 o'clock. Members should go back, read this document, which will be touching upon because of the clauses that are here. First, maybe 2 hours tomorrow, we come up with questions that we have picked up from this document, from the document that we received today. So we will finalize this document tomorrow, first 2 hours tomorrow, past 9, maybe to 11 o'clock, and then we continue to get the responses from what we've dealt with. I think if that is acceptable, members, let's approach it in that fashion. It takes on board the two proposals. Is it clear? We don't want the explanation from you, please, department, to say why you sent it at 4 yesterday. We don't want that explanation. That will deal with the minister and the DG, because it's you see, if the department is not doing what it's supposed to do, it's just that we have a tight program. We chase it away to say, go and do the right thing. But we don't have time to do that. We're very limited time, time in our program. So we won't chase you away. We'll continue to engage with you, but we'll finalize it tomorrow. Honorable Van Dijk?
Chair, why do we have limited time?
Say that again.
Why do we need to rush this bill? Why do we have limited time? You just said we have limited time to deliberate on this.
No, I'm talking about the program broadly. The program of Parliament, I can't remember how many days we have. So we don't have a day to waste. That's what I'm talking about. The time we have today and tomorrow. So I was just referring to the program that we have. Over to you, Development.
Chair,
and please, if, as I said earlier, when we started,
yes.
If there are areas that you think FPP can raise, because that's why they are here, they can assist you, delegate, but handle what you can handle.
Chair, so that I'm I must go through the tabular document that is in front of the government.
You have spoken to particular clauses in the general document.
Yeah.
And those particular clauses are contained in this document. You can clarify, you can go to this document insofar as it relates to the clauses that you have pointed out in that document. Honorable Sedin?
Maybe I understand. I want to attempt to understand his predicament. Because we are saying we we want to engage with the presentation. And my take is that we have reached a stage where we must now engage. They will then come back to respond to whatever members would have reached. I understand a bit his practical manner now. If there are issues that MPP would like to assist in clarifying after members would have raised clarity questions, then they will come back. So I understand his practical manner because yes, members are saying we are only engaging with the presentation as presented today and nothing else. Any other document that we have just received, we are not taking it now. We are going to study it, we'll come back, you'll present it tomorrow. There is no more any other presentation that we expect from the department except engagement. They will come back to clarify with the assistance of APB.
Do you understand what he is saying? Go ahead. Chairperson, just wanted to say, in terms of the previous slide, I had indicated that Cabinet has made an instruction to all government departments that every time they present policy or legislation, they must engage in regulatory impact or social impact analysis. Not that this legislation must be. I think they are aware of the separation of powers. So they were saying that anything that comes to them in relation to legislation, it must have an impact assessment attached to it before. It was not related to this legislation or its own legislation or whatever. I thought I should clarify that. It was not related to, say, giving Parliament time frames to say pass this by this one. It was I was sharing information that a regulatory impact assessment is a requirement that all government has to engage in when they pass laws, moving from the time that was highlighted. In terms of matters related to what we have presented, Chair, when it comes to child pornography, what we have said is that the current legislation has not been amended in terms of the child pornography to that of child abuse material. Although we are not opposed to the proposed changes, this is something that we agreed that we need to continue having in our legislation to ensure that a synergy remains between the FPB and other legislation. This is the first one of the issues that are there that we will come from the document. Also, what we also agreed to with the submission was that we needed to define harm, because the term harm or harmful forms part of the elements that are used in the classification process. So what we have done, Chair, we have redefined the word harm to mean distress. Yes. We have also dealt away with the sections that were requiring ICASA not to give out licenses to anyone that does not register with the FPP. We recognize the constitutional challenges that might have. It's one of those unintended consequences that came out of the drafting. Our intention, as we had said in the first presentation when the question arose, was that our intention was not to interfere with the constitutional mandate of ICASA. So that's why in the presentation we had clearly specified to say we wanted FPP
so that everyone that deals with online content knows that when you need to register anything online content, you need to go to the FPP. It's the only delegated authority that deals with online content matters. So everyone that has to, anything to do with online content will have to go and register with the FPP, and that's where its mandate will end. In terms of broadcasting content, it remains the mandate of ICASA, and we have dealt away, we have dealt with those provisions so that they are removed to ensure that there is no confusion in terms of the constitutional challenges that might arise. And also, one of the other issues that we dealt with, which was very key, was related to the issues that were raised by the press council. We have accepted the recommendation to include, based on the decision of the Constitutional Court, we have included all the issues that they wanted us to include in the definition to ensure that online magazines and others are dealt with within their codes. But the other key issue was related to hate speech online in relation to the submissions that were made by the South African Board of Jewish Deputies, if I get the name correctly, Chair. And as I had indicated, Chair, we were working with Justice in terms of implementing the action plans that are coming from the resolutions that were taken in the UN. And one of the things that the Department of Justice have done is to define what is hate speech. So we said that since it's a very progressive definition, we will go with that one and accept that that's a definition that is being used. But the challenges that were raised by the Jewish Board, they are very key, Chair, and it's a challenge that all of us are facing in the sense that when we were passing this law, we wanted our communities to know all the legal steps that they need to follow when they are challenged by such eventualities that were coming from the online hate speech and the case that they were referring to say that there's regulation. You also have mechanisms that are dealt with in other laws that you need to take up with, to take up if you do have the resources. And that's the other issue that we were trying to deal with, to say people that are usually harmed, some of them do not have the resources to follow up the matters through to the legal conclusion. So we are trying to provide mechanisms to ensure that at least the FPP and others help them to ensure that they do not see this regulatory mechanism as very scary. We needed to simplify them. And the other issue that we also dealing with, Chair, is related to when does the FPP get engaged in terms of the online matters? Does it have to wait for complaints, or on its own it can investigate if there are matters that they feel they need to investigate? The regulatory trend and policy trend is that you have to give them the powers to even on their own initiate investigations, because at times people might not be aware, but because of their engagement and all the agreements that they do have with other institutions, they have the expertise and the resources to raise matters on behalf of the population. So those are the ones that I think I can recall now. And if the chair allows, I would appreciate if we were to allow at this instance the FPP to make any additions in terms of those that we have jointly agreed on, if there are some issues that I have not raised.
No, it's okay. Now that we have reflected on some of the issues, I think the members will be interested in engaging the general document that was presented, because you have touched upon other issues that are related, that are reflected in this document. let's take that approach, members. Let's engage the document that was presented. Now that he has clarified some of the issues, engage that document, and then we take it from there. Honorable City, Honorable Van Skalvik, sorry, Van Dam. You are all Van Dam, Van Skalvik, Van Dijk. So, pardon me when I confuse it.
Well, Honorable Chair, let me appreciate the presentation of the department. But I want to start by really appreciating the interest that we have witnessed from all the stakeholders in relation to these films and publications amended bill that we're dealing with, from civil society, religious bodies, and all the relevant people. But equally, the response that you have tried to give today in relation to the issues. There are obviously a few issues that will need to be clarified on. One issue that is not coming up very, very clearly to me is the issue of the powers of the Films and Publications Board vis-a-vis the Department of Justice and Constitutional Affairs and other law enforcement agencies in terms of dealing with the content considered illegal and other harmful content. So I'm begging to understand at which stage does the Department of Justice and other law enforcement agencies come into picture in terms of dealing with this illegal content. In your presentation, Mr. Rashid, you alluded to a study that was conducted by UNICEF as commissioned by the department on the experience of South African children and how they relate to media material. We'll obviously appreciate if you can also finish out with a report with regard to that particular study. I think it would be very, very helpful for us going forward as we deal with this particular matter until we take the final report to the assembly. The second last one is there is this understanding which says quite a number of stakeholders the other week raised concerns around classification fee. And there's this understanding which says government is subsidizing 90% in relation to this particular aspect. It came up very, very sharply from quite a number of stakeholders that presented that day. I would appreciate if you are then able to tell us how much is 90% subsidy? What are we talking about? Is it 10 rand? Is it 20 rand? If you can then assist us so that we're able to understand to what extent is government intervening in that aspect. Because as I've indicated, it came up very, very sharply from quite a number of stakeholders. The last one, I'll assume now that we are amending this act, you have also checked with the situation in other countries. If you can also share with us best practice from some of the countries in terms of them dealing with the issues at hand. What is the situation so that we are able to take an informed decision as we deal with this issue. Online distributors registration with FPP, from what you presented, will have financial and technical implications. I think that that's what you said. We'll appreciate if you can just clarify that particular aspect as well. Those financial implications, the financial and technical implications that you alluded to earlier. Thank you.
Thank you.